Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Chapter 2, verse 1, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep and in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the opportunity you've given us to gather here. I appreciate for the faithfulness of our people. And Lord, I know there are other folks that would like to be here tonight and just were not able. And I pray, God, that you would bless them. I pray, God, that you would bless us now as we open up your word. Lord, I pray you'd touch us and use us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to deliver the burden that you put upon our heart while studying this chapter this week. And what you do, we'll thank you and we'll give you glory for it. Thank you that you let us have church tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach tonight out of these verses we've read, these 11 verses, the Lord being our helper. And I want to preach on a very simple title tonight. In fact, I guess a lot of people have been waiting for me to get to this. I want to preach on Jonah and the whale. When you get to the book of Jonah, that's what everybody thinks about is Jonah and the whale. But as we said a few services ago, that the whale is only mentioned about four times. The fish is only mentioned about four times in the book of Jonah. But it seems like the whale gets the biggest part of the story. Got a friend of mine, he preached the other day on a whale of a tale. Then I've heard him preach on lessons from Whale University. Amen. And you could really go in the left field with a lot of those titles, amen. But I just want to preach very simply tonight about Jonah and this whale. Now, here in the book of Jonah, it is just called a fish. But we understand that Jesus in Matthew chapter number 12, when he is speaking about Jonah in his message, he identifies this fish as a whale. Now, you'd be surprised how many books I studied this week and reading. You'd be surprised how many Bible scholars say that Jesus made a mistake when he said a whale in Matthew 12, because Jonah said he was a fish, and whales are mammals. They're not fish, so Jesus got it wrong. That's what literally one writer who is supposed to be a theologian said. I'd say I'm going to believe Jesus over the theologian, since Jesus was the one that prepared the whale, and Jesus was the one that spoke to the whale, and he's the one that created the whale. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You understand that? He was that creation. He's all a part of that. I'd say he'd know if it was a whale or another kind of fish, amen. So Jesus identifies as a whale in Matthew 12, and this story has been a much skeptic and criticism throughout Christianity and throughout history. You remember the story of the fellow that got on the airplane, and he was a little nervous about flying, and he had his Bible out, and he was trying to read his Bible to calm his nerves, and this fellow sat down beside him and said, "Is that a Bible you're reading, sir?" He said, "Yes, sir, it is." He said, "Well, you don't believe that it's the Word of God, do you?" He said, "I sure do." He said, "Do you believe every story in that Bible?" He said, "Yes, sir. To the best of my abilities, I believe every story in the Bible." He said, "Well, surely you don't believe that story about Jonah being swallowed by a whale, do you?" He said, "Yes, sir, I do. I believe that." He said, "In fact," he said, "how do you," he said, "in fact, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah about that whole scenario. I want to hear it straight from Jonah." And that fella said, "Well, what if Jonah ain't in heaven?" He said, "Then you ask him." You'll get that after a while, amen. But this story has been a lot of criticism. In fact, they have said that it is impossible for a man to be swallowed by a whale and survive. But did you realize up in Boston last year, a fella got swallowed by a whale and lived? He was out diving for lobsters. He could just went down to Red Lobster. They got plenty of them. But he was diving for lobster, and he said, "All of a sudden, it got dark around me." And he realized he was in the mouth of a whale. And he got out. Obviously, he got out because he told the story, all right? But what I'm saying is, this is you Google it. There's been many people that's been swallowed by a whale and lived to tell about it. But I'll say this, if nobody in the news that we put so much confidence in, if nobody in the news said that, yeah, they survived being eaten by a whale just enough that the Bible says it, it's enough for me to believe it, amen? And so I want to walk through these verses tonight, and I want to preach a simple message on Jonah and the whale. First of all, I want to say a word about Jonah in contrast with this whale. Here's what I mean by that. Studying this whale and studying this text, I find out that the whale was a better Christian than Jonah was. The whale was a better Christian, a better believer than what Jonah was. I'll prove it to you. First of all, this whale was observant to the word of God. Notice verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. The word observant means taking notice, being attentive, listening. Amen. This whale was created by God. And since it was created by God, it was observant to its creator. Let me say this. All throughout the word of God, you see the animal kingdom being obedient to its creator. Think about that donkey with Balaam in the book of Numbers, the ravens that brought bread and flesh to Elijah, the fish that had the coin in its mouth that paid Simon Peter's taxes. I try to go fishing every April trying to find that same fish to pay my taxes, amen. Think about that rooster, that crow when Simon Peter denied the Lord, the fish that swam in Luke chapter 5 and John 21. They had fished all night and not caught nothing. Jesus said, cast your nets out on the right side of the ship, and Jesus told all those ship to get in that net. He ain't never done that on one of my fishing trips. Never, amen. But what I'm saying tonight is that even the animal kingdom is observant to God's word. But here's a man who is a prophet. He is a believer. He's been redeemed, if you would. And God tells him to do something. What does he do? He goes the other way. He begins to disobey God. He begins to disregard what God said. He let me say this. He may have heard what God said, but he wasn't listening to what God said. He was not attentive. This whale was not only observant to the word of God, this whale was obedient to the will of God. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. The Lord had a task, a plan, a will for this whale. A will for this whale. Say that five times fast, amen. He had a job that he wanted him to accomplish. And this whale was obedient. God told the whale, Mr. Whale, I'm going to say it's a mystery. Don't say, Mr. Whale, I'm going to have a preacher going to be thrown in your neck of the woods. I need you to eat him. Need you to swallow him. Don't kill him, just swallow him. And the whale said, yes, sir, Lord. God says, Jonah, I need you to go down to Nineveh and preach. I don't want to go. Now, I don't want to burst your bubble. This whale ain't going to be in heaven. This whale's not been redeemed. This whale's not been saved, if you would. Animals don't have a soul, amen. But ain't it amazing how this whale was obedient to God? And the man of God, the prophet of God, the preacher of the Lord, he's disobeying God? How obedient are you to God right now? On a scale of 1 to 10, where's your obedience? 10 being complete obedience, 0 being complete disobedience. Can I let you know something? If you're not at a 10, you're at complete disobedience. Because partial obedience is complete disobedience. When I'm obeying God in most of the areas of my life, but I've not got all this area, then we're being disobedient. You know what I found out? All of us live a lot of disobedient lives. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But man, this whale was obedient. This whale was observant to the word of God, obedient to the will of God. It was open to the way of God. He said, swallow up Jonah. Now, did you realize that this whale and Jonah had the same ministry? Take in outsiders. He told the whale, I want you to take in this outsider. This ain't your normal diet. This ain't what you normally would do, but I want you to take in an outsider. You know what Jonah's problem? He didn't want to go to the outsiders. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah had a lot of prejudice about him. He said, I don't want to go into Nineveh. Judgment of God, that's what they need, is the judgment of God. If we're not careful, we'll see. And I don't watch news, y'all know that, but I saw a clip in this week, and I had to check my spirit, but that this lady that had a child, 18 years old, and then throws it in a dumpster, alive. And then, thankfully, dumpster divers came through and found the baby, and the baby's fine. And the mother is defending defending the mother of the daughter that threw the baby away, is defending her. And you think, man, I tell you, what they ought to do is ought to throw her in a plastic bag and throw her in a dumpster somewhere. Amen, I believe in punishment, amen. Here's my point, though. If we're not careful, we'll begin to look at everybody else as outsiders and say, yeah, that I ain't wasting my time with all that. And we'll have the spirit of Jonah. See, I say this, that what that girl done was wicked and wrong, but Jesus died for that girl's sin. Now, that boggles my mind. I'm saying, you think about the wicked, most wicked, vile sin, the most wicked, vile person, and you think, man, if they was in heaven, heaven would seem like a dirty place. But may I remind you, Paul told that church at Corinth, such were some of you. He said, but you're washed. But you're justified. I'm telling you tonight, we should never get over the fact that if it wasn't for the grace of God, and if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we might be throwing our babies in a dumpster somewhere. We might be drunk out of our mind somewhere. Oh, but God had grace and love and compassion and mercy on our life. And we ought to pray for those and try to be a witness to those who are the outsiders, if you would. And so that was easy, but all humanity deserves to die and go to hell. And all humanity ought to hear the gospel. So I see Jonah in contrast with this whale. I wrote this down. This whale was open and willing to obey not just the word of God and the will of God, but he was willing to obey the way God wanted it done. I thought about this today. A lot of people say, I want God's will to be done, but they don't like the way God's doing it. I mean, can you imagine swallowing a backslid Baptist preacher? That'll give you indigestion. Probably didn't like this whale, maybe not like the way, but it was going to be obedient to his creator. Jonah didn't like the way that God was sending him, but he had to be obedient. So Jonah, in contrast with this whale. Secondly, Jonah's cry from within the whale. Chapter number 2. The Bible said in verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. Watch what he said. And said, I cried. What does Jonah do when he's been cast overboard and swallowed by a whale? I mean, his situation has got fishy real quick. He's in a fishy situation. That's the best joke I've got. If you're not going to smile, might as well just go on to the house. Amen. He's in a fishy situation. Things have been turned upside down. So what does he do? He begins to pray. Notice the place of his prayer in verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. You know what this tells me? If Jonah can pray in the whale's belly, then we can pray anywhere. It was a dark place. I ain't never been in a whale's belly, but I don't think they have LED lights in there. Unless he ate some flashlight fish. It's probably pretty dark in there. It's probably pretty disgusting in there. It's probably dirty in there. It is probably a dead in there, a lot of dead fish floating around. It's probably a difficult place, probably depressing. What'd he do, though? He prayed. And if Jonah can cry out to God in a dark place, in a deep place, in a dead place, in a disgusting place, in a defiled place, I'm telling you, there is no reason that you and I can't call out to God in prayer and bring him. I understand Jonah's being chastened in this text. I'll get to that in a minute. But I'm telling you, there is no reason why we can't cry out to God. Amen. The place of his prayer. Note the passion in his prayer. Verse 2. And he said, I cried by reason of my affliction to the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. I know his affliction, and I cried by reason of my affliction to the Lord. The word affliction means distress. It means trouble. Why is he in distress? Why is he in trouble? It's his own fault. And how many times do you and I get ourselves in trouble, and it's our own fault? We can't blame nobody else. It's just look at the mess I've got myself in. But I love his affliction, but then his assurance. He said, I cried by reason of my affliction to the Lord. Watch this now. And he heard me. And out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. You know what Jonah did? Jonah found encouragement in the whale's belly. He began to pray, and he found out that even while he was in that dark, disgusting, dirty, defiled, depressing, dead place, that when he called out to God, God still heard his prayer. And I'll tell you, if you cried out to God today, he heard your prayer, amen. It doesn't matter if you're in the belly of a whale, down at the bottom of the edge of the mountain, you call out to God, he will hear you, thank God. The psalmist said, in my distress, I cried to the Lord and he heard me. Brother Rich, as I was reading Jonah 2, and you're reading through the Psalms, you might see this. Jonah 2 reads so much like a psalm. It looks so much like a psalm to me. The way he constructs it. It almost looks like he's borrowed David's pen to write this. He said, I cried to God by reason of my affliction. You know what he did? He had David's affliction, but he also had David's assurance. He said, and thou heard me. And can I say this, remind you tonight, God's no respecter of person. If he heard Jonah in that fish's belly, I'm glad when I get up this morning, he heard my prayer. He heard my prayer. Notice the panic in his prayer. Verses 3 through 7. Verse 3 and 4, he was cast out. He said, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. He was cast out. In verse number 4 and 3, he said, I'm in the middle of it. He said, I'm in the midst of the sea. I don't know about you, but that is, if you've ever been out far on a boat or maybe on a cruise ship, I'll tell you, that is a lonely feeling being out when you can't see land. And imagine being in a submarine. Imagine being that way and not being able to see. And not being able to know what's going on. He was cast out. But you know what he said? He said in the midst of the sea, he felt as though he was out of the sight of God. But I'm glad no matter where we go, we're never out of God's sight. David said in Psalm 139, O Lord, thou hast searched me, thou hast known me. Thou knowest my downsetting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou art compassed my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast set me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high that I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. You know what David is saying? He's saying what Jonah said. He said, I was at the bottom. I was as low as I could get. But I called out to God, and he heard my prayer. With little Jude at the house now, my schedules, you got a schedule with the baby. I get the second shift feeding. Grace gets up at 2 or 3 and feeds her, and I get up at 5 or 6. If I'm lucky, 7, amen. Very rare does that happen to feed her. And you're trying to sit there and rock that baby, and you're about half out and wrestle that baby and trying to get that bottle in her mouth and all that. And I sit there trying to stay awake, and the Lord said, why don't you just make this your prayer time? And so I sit there rocking in my chair, just praying. And I've been in camp meetings. You have 45 preachers on the platform. They all pray together. It's loud and roaring. You just felt like you walked into the throne room. But there I am sitting in my living room this morning, rocking my little girl, feeding her a bottle at about 5 this morning. You know what? I began to pray. And you know what? The same God that was in the camp meeting was the same God that was in the living room. And I'm telling you this morning, this evening, it doesn't matter where you're at in life. It doesn't matter how dark the circumstance. When you seem you can't find God, you don't know where he's at, and you felt like you're cast away out of his sight, just pray, just pray, just pray. Jonah's not even right with God. He's running from God in this text, but God still heard him. He wasn't even right with God. Remember, the reason he's here is because he's disobeyed God. But aren't you glad God's such a God of mercy and love that even when his rebel called out to him, he still heard his prayer. He still heard his cry. He was cast out. He was compassed. Verse 5 and 6, I got a hush. He said, the waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. He said, I'm surrounded. I can't get out, but I'm going to keep on praying. I don't see God. I'm cast away. I'm tied up, but I'm going to keep on praying. When you feel like you're bound down, you feel like you can't get out, and you feel like you can't find God with a search warrant, just keep praying. He was conflicted, verse 7. He said, when my soul fainted within me. The word fainted gives the idea of pressure. He said, I don't know if I'm going to make it, but if I ain't going to make it, I'm going to die praying. Ain't amazing. He ain't hollering, help! Get me out of here! No, he's just praying. The persuasion in his prayer, verses 3 through 7. Look at his perception, verse 4. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Remember what he said? He said, I'm cast out of your sight. God, I can't see you. But I don't think he's talking about Solomon's temple in this text. He said, I'm going to look towards that holy temple. Because how's he going to know which way Solomon's temple is in that whale's belly, amen? How's he going to know? You tried saying that and not getting it mixed up, amen? Plus, I'm dyslexic, so. But how's he going to know which way Solomon's temple is? So he done, he said, I'm going to look beyond Solomon's temple. And I'm going to look toward thy holy temple. I'm just going to look up towards God. I tell you, when you can't find God, just get focused on heaven. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I hope this is making sense to you tonight. His preservation, verse 6. He said, yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Jonah said, you know, God, you've helped me before. He said, thou hast brought up. So he's talking past tense. He said, God, you've helped me before, and God, you're going to help me again. His peace, verse 7. When my soul faint within me, I love this now. I remember the Lord. Do you not see the language of a psalm in that? He said, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came into thee, into thy holy temple. Can I give you context once again? This man received a call from God and deliberately disobeyed. Deliberately went the other direction. Deliberately lied. Said, I fear God. He told those mariners, I fear God. He didn't fear God. If he feared God, he would have went to Nineveh. Cast overboard. Swallowed by a whale. He said, but God, when I prayed, my prayer made it right to your temple. Made it right to your throne and you heard me. I'm not advocating living in sin tonight. I'm not advocating disobedience. Go back and listen to Wednesday night's message. I'm not advocating that. But I'm telling you this. If we have disobeyed and got away from God, I'm glad he'll hear our prayer. Now, this just ain't a flippant prayer that Jonah's giving here. He's being sincere. Notice the principle in this prayer. He said, verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Jonah's given a principle in a personal testimony. He said, I observe lying vanities. Vanity, the word picture is a bubble. Sightler loves those bubble guns with, you know, and I don't care how old you are, a bubble get in front of you, you're going to try to grab it. And the word for vanity is somebody trying to reach out to grab a bubble and you touch it and it's gone. Jonah said, I was observing things that wasn't even real. And I had my focus on things that had no reality. And when I did that, I forsook my own mercy. In other words, God has mercy new every morning. He said, I forsook that mercy God gave me when I believed myself. Oh, that's why we can't trust in our heart, folks. Because the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Jeremiah said, who can know it? There's the principle. But then there speaks of the product in this prayer. Verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I'm almost done. His sacrifice in verse number 9. He said, I will sacrifice thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He said, I'm going to go ahead and say thank you now while I'm in the fish's belly, while I'm in the whale's belly. I'm going to go ahead and say thank you, God. Thank you, God. I like what one preacher said. God showed mercy on Jonah letting that whale swallow him. It could have been a shark. You think about that. Could have been a shark, but God had mercy on him. He said, I'm going to be thankful. He was serious. He said, I will pay that I have vowed. You know what Jonah's doing in verse 9? He's getting right. He makes a statement. He said, because salvation is of the Lord. You know what Jonah's message was to the people of Nineveh? Repent. He said, yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. And if you look on later in the chapter, chapter number 3, you'll find that Nineveh repented and got right with God. But it wasn't because of Jonah. It's called salvation is of the Lord. So Jonah in contrast with the whale. Jonah's cry from within the whale. But lastly tonight, Jonah's conclusion with the whale. Verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Jonah was a changed man when he left the whale. Now if you read Jonah chapter 4, Jonah has another set of issues. So I say, well, he wasn't changed. So you mean to tell me you got right with God before and never got messed up with him again? We all slip and fall. That's not an excuse. But before we get jumping on Jonah too bad, we all do the same thing. We'll get right with God in the area of our life and then another area will pop up. Sometimes the same area. That's why we got to deal with it and give that to God and lay that on an altar. But at this point, in Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, Jonah was a changed man. He was a commissioned man. One fellow said that that whale could be a type of the church. Think about this. It takes in outsiders. He takes in rebels and changes them and sends them out. That's good, amen. Took an old rebel, changed him, and then sent him out to preach. Ain't that what the church does, amen? And the church don't change, it's the God of the church, amen. But I wrote this down. I wonder how many people died in Nineveh while Jonah was running from God. How many people went to hell in Nineveh while Jonah's in the whale's belly because he disobeyed God? He was a changed man, commissioned man, but here's the most amazing thing. He's a Christ-like man. Now, if Jesus had not made this comparison, Brother Rich, I would not. But here's what Jesus said in Matthew 12:40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You know what the purpose of chastisement and testing is? To make you more like Jesus. Jonah didn't say that about himself. Jonah didn't say, boy, don't I look like Jesus? Jesus said, I'll tell you right now, Jonah looked like me. For as Jonah's in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, even so. It's funny, the types always fall off. I understand that. Types, and some fall off quicker than others. But the application I want to make to you tonight is don't run from God. Because what he's doing, he is conforming us to the image of his Son.